Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. If somebody asked you the question, who exactly is God, what would you say? If you asked a New Age person, who is God, you'd probably get something like, we are all God. We are all part of the collective God consciousness. If you asked a Hindu or a Mormon, who is God, they would say, there are many gods. If you asked a Muslim, who is God? He would say, Allah is, Jesus isn't. So I met this Somali van driver who's a Muslim, and he says to me, well, Muslims, Christians, Jews, we all believe in the same God. I said, no offense, I don't think so. I believe Jesus is God. Muslims do not believe Jesus is God. I believe in one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Muslims do not believe in the Trinity. So we're all monotheists. Muslims, Christians, Jews believe in one God, but I don't think it's the same one God. So the question for this half hour is, who exactly is God? Let's get into this. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, there are so many views on and opinions on who you are. We pray, Father, that you would speak to us now and Lord, show us who exactly is God. Teach us, and Holy Spirit, open our ears and hearts and open my mouth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who exactly is God? Let me give you the definition right up front. God is the Trinity. The word Trinity means God is one being who exists in three eternal persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, if the Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking on your door, they will tell you Jesus is not God. There is no Trinity. The word Trinity is nowhere in the Bible, they will say. Here's my response. They're right this much. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The concept of the Trinity starts in the first paragraph of the Bible and goes all the way through the Scriptures. Let me show you the Trinity in the first paragraph of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. That's the Father. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. There's the Holy Spirit. And God said, the speaking, the Word of God, God said, let there be light. That's Jesus. We learn that in John 1:1. So yeah, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The concept is definitely there. So what I want to do, somebody said this, and this analogy breaks down if you push it, but it'll help a little. Ice is water. Snow is water. Steam is water. One substance, water, but three forms. Even so, there's not three gods. There's one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What I want to do in answering the question, who exactly is God, is to take you through the Nicene Creed. Many of your churches, if you go to a Lutheran, Catholic, Episcopalian, Methodist, Presbyterian, lots of churches say the Nicene Creed every week. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. That is called the Nicene Creed. And let me quickly tell you the story of it, and then let me use it to define God. 325 AD, there was a false teacher by the name of Arius, who was teaching Jesus is not God, the Trinity is not true. And this teaching was dividing the church. So in 325 AD, all the bishops of Christendom came together in a little town in Turkey called Nicaea, and they came up with the Nicene Creed, in which they condemned Arius. That doesn't mean they killed him. They condemned his teaching. And they came up with the Nicene Creed to summarize what does the Bible teach about God. So let me take you now through this age-old creed. And some people think we shouldn't believe in creeds. We should just believe in the Bible. Well, the creed comes from the Bible. It's a summary of the Bible. So let me use the Nicene Creed to define who God is. First words. first paragraph goes like this. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, seen and unseen. Let me take you through that. First word in the creed is, I believe in. Now, when we say in the creed, I believe in, you're not saying you believe God exists. The devil believes God exists. You're saying, I believe in the sense of, I trust him. I mean, for instance, here's my podium that I preach off of. And I don't believe about this podium. I don't, you know, it does exist, but when I say I believe in this podium, it says I believe enough to put all my notes and Bibles and everything on it. So that when we say I believe in God the Father, we're not saying I believe he exists because the devil believes he exists. I'm saying I believe in and I trust him and I put my weight upon him. I believe in, next word, God, one God. That means monotheism. Mono means one, theos means God. Monotheists believe in one God. So I said to the Muslim van driver, you Muslims think we Christians believe in three gods. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God in three persons. Hindus are polytheists, many gods. Mormons believe in polytheism, many gods, but Christians believe in one God. Next words, the Father. When you say, I believe in God the Father, you're saying, I believe God loves and protects me. You wouldn't be watching this show right now if God the Father hadn't watched over you up to this point in your life. So the pastor one morning is preaching on God the Father. And after church, a little 8-year-old boy comes up with tears in his eyes. Well, pastor, if God is like a father, you can keep him. And he starts crying. And the pastor said, little boy, what's wrong? Well, my dad comes home drunk. He beats up my mother. He hates my brother and I. And if God is like a father, you can keep him. And the pastor said, well, what do you wish your dad was like? What would a good father be like? Oh, I wish my dad would love me and love my mom and my brother. I wish he'd take care of us, spend time with us. And the pastor said, little boy, that is God the Father. I believe in one God, the Father, who loves us and takes care of us. Next words, he's the maker of heaven and earth. The words maker show there is purpose and design to the universe. So I'm sitting on the plane next to a doctor, and he finds out I'm a pastor, and he said, well, I became a Christian in med school. I said, oh, what converted you? He said, when I started studying the human body and how intricately designed this thing is, I had to conclude there's a designer. When you say, I believe God made the universe, you're saying, I believe there's purpose and design to the universe and to me. I'm here for a purpose. A Christian and an atheist are walking along the seashore. They find a stopwatch in the sand. And they pick it up and they pop the back open and the gears are still, it's still working. And the atheist says, well, isn't that an intricately designed watch? And the Christian said, oh, I don't think anybody designed that watch. The atheist says, well, look at all the gears still going. Of course, look at how intricate this. No, I think, said the Christian, I think after gazillions of years of the water pounding the sand, that watch was formed. And the atheist said, what? And the Christian said, bingo. Atheists look at this universe that is intricately more designed than a stopwatch. And they say, nobody made it. It just kind of evolved. Uh-huh. Not the Christians do not say that. I believe in one God, maker, designer of heaven and earth. And the next words, and of all things, visible and invisible. You know what that means when you say that in the creed? That means there are angels and demons. We do believe God created the physical, visible universe. We believe he created the unseen things too, like angels and demons. Next paragraph. We believe in God the Father. Next paragraph. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. Let me explain that. The word Lord means two things. God and Master. When you say Jesus is my Lord, you're saying I believe he's my God. The word Lord means God. And I believe he's my Master. The word Lord means he's my Master. I'm his slave. That's what you're saying when you say the word I believe Jesus is Lord, God, and Master. And the next word, I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one. The Old Testament prophesied the Christ would be sent to save the people of God. And when we say, I believe, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Mary and Joseph Christ did not have a little boy and called him Jesus Christ. No. When you say Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one the Old Testament promised. Next words, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, begotten of his Father before all worlds. The phrase before all worlds means Jesus is eternal. Now, I was raised at a Lutheran church in Omaha, went every Sunday growing up. When I'm 12 years old, I start confirmation class. The first thing the pastor taught us was the Trinity. One God, three persons, Father, Son, Jesus is God. I put up my hand. I said, wait a minute. I said, Jesus is God? Well, yes. I said, I thought he was the Son of God. Well, he is the Son of God. He's also God eternal. And I got a little angry. I said to the pastor, you know, I've gone to this church my whole life. They taught us about Noah and the ark about 100 times. Why didn't anybody teach me Jesus is God? So you can be raised in the church and not quite get this. But the words in the creed, before all worlds, that comes from John chapter 1, verse 1. So again, the creed is built on the scriptures. John 1, 1 teaches Jesus is God before all worlds. And then the next words in the creed, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. He is begotten of the Father before all worlds. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Next definition of who God is, Jesus is very God of very God. Those words were directed at Arius, who was teaching in 325 AD, Jesus is not God. And all the bishops says, oh, according to the Bible, yes, he is. You see all those verses listed here? Take out a pen and write those down. Those are just some of the verses in the New Testament that teach Jesus is God. So if Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door and say, the Bible never teaches Jesus is God, you can read those verses and say, oh, yes, it does. When I was a young preacher, I'm teaching the Trinity one night, an 80-year-old man puts up his hand. What do you mean Jesus is God? And so, again, you can be in church forever and not quite get this. Write those verses down. Jesus is very God, a very God. Next words in the creed. Jesus is begotten, not made. Those words mean Jesus is not created. Again, those words were aimed at Arius, who was teaching that Jesus is a created being, and the early church said, no, according to the Bible, Jesus is eternal. And have you ever thought of this? If God the Father is eternal, doesn't there need to be an eternal Son for him to be a Father too? Something to think about. And if somebody asks you, an 8-year-old girl asked me this, well, who made God? Well, the answer is nobody made God. He's just always been. Father, Son, Holy Spirit has just always been there, never had a beginning. Well, then, little kid, well, how can that be? And our answer is, I don't know. Next words in the creed. Jesus Christ came down from heaven for us men and for our salvation. The next thing to say about who God is, Jesus came for our salvation. So I'm talking to the Muslim van driver, and I thought, well, I might as well preach the gospel to him. And I said, you know, Muslims believe, most non-Christian religions believe, the way you get into heaven is by being good enough. Christians believe we're sinners, we deserve to go to hell. You'll never be good enough because God is perfect. The way we get saved is by God coming to earth for our salvation, dying on the cross to pay for our sins. I said, that's the way, by putting your trust in Jesus, that's the way you're going to go to heaven. And the next words, and then Jesus became incarnate of the Virgin Mary. The word incarnate means enfleshed. We believe God became incarnate. God actually took on human flesh. God became a man. C.S. Lewis said, here's a seashell. C.S. Lewis said, imagine fitting yourself to live inside of a seashell, and you'll get a glimpse of what it must have been like for God at Bethlehem to become a man. Next words. He was incarnate by the Virgin Mary and was made man. Here's the next point. Jesus was truly a man. When I teach confirmation and I teach that Jesus is God, I'll then stop and I'll say to the 12-year-olds, so true or false? Jesus is a man. And they'll say, oh, that's false. And I'll say, why? Well, because you just taught us Jesus is God. And I'll have to teach them, true, Jesus is God, and he really became a man. There was an ancient heresy called Docetism. Doceo in Greek means to seem like. And these false teachers were saying, well, Jesus seemed like a man, he looked like a man, but God didn't really become a man. And the early church condemned that as heresy, because in the New Testament, God really became a man. Jesus was God as a man walking amongst us for 33 years. And the early church said, look, it takes a man to pay the sins of mankind. And if Jesus didn't really become a man, then we're not saved. The early church teaches, the Bible teaches, Jesus is fully God and fully man. And next thing to say about Jesus, he suffered and was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. Here's the next word from the Apostles' Creed. Jesus truly died. Sometimes I'll ask a Christian, do you think Jesus literally died on the cross? Did he really die? And sometimes I get the answer, oh no, he's God, he can't really die. No, listen, he really died. God the Father didn't die on the cross. The Holy Spirit didn't die. But when Jesus died on the cross, he really died. Because again, death is the payment for sin. If he didn't really die, our sins aren't paid for. And after he died, it says in the Creed, and on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven. Next words, rose again means we believe in the bodily resurrection. And belief in the bodily resurrection is required. I went to a liberal seminary, and one day a student who I'm guessing was more liberal put up his hand in class and he said, Dr. Frost. Dr. Frost was an old Lutheran professor and he was good. He was biblical. Dr. Frost, do you believe one has to believe in the literal bodily resurrection of Christ to be saved? And old Professor Frost looked at him and said, son, you don't play with that one. You have to believe Jesus rose from the dead to be a Christian. Because of Romans 10, Paul writes, if you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You have to believe in the resurrection of Christ to be a Christian. Otherwise, why be one if he's dead? And the next words of the Creed, he ascended into heaven. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Next thing the Creed teaches, Jesus will return as judge. One day, it could be tonight, we'll hear trumpets. We'll look up. Jesus comes down in the clouds for every eye to see. All the dead are raised. He'll judge us one by one. Those who trust him go to heaven. Those who reject him go to hell. And then the earth melts with fire. That's going to happen someday. It's called Judgment Day. And last point, last paragraph is of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. Here's the last point. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, there are some verses right there, Acts 5, 2 Corinthians 3. Those verses teach the Holy Spirit is God. So let me sum all this up. Somebody asked you, who exactly is God? The answer is, well, there's only one God, but God eternally exists as three persons. God the Father who made us, God the Son who died for us, God the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That's who God is. And I'll close with this. There's a story, I don't know if it's true, there's a story that in the 300s, St. Augustine, great intellect of the church, wrote a treatise on the Holy Trinity. And after he got done with this intricate long treatise about one God, three persons, he took a walk on the beach. He comes across a little boy who's making a hole in the sand. And then he watches the little boy go to the ocean. He gets some water in his hands and he dumps the water out into the hole. Then he goes back to the ocean, more water, and he dumps. And St. Augustine's, little boy, what are you doing? Well, I am going to empty the ocean into this hole that I've made. And Augustine said, what? You can never do that. And the story goes that it was as if God said, Augustine, do you think in your treatise you have conquered the immensity, the glory of the Holy Trinity? Somebody said once, if you doubt the Trinity, you'll lose your salvation. If you try to understand the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. Well, I don't say we understand this totally, this side of heaven, but that is who God is according to the Bible. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we now ask Pastor Brock to share with us his knowledge of Scripture and his insights to answer questions we have regarding the Bible, our Lord, and our everyday walk with Him. Pastor Brock, in light of what you talked about, do all Christian denominations believe in the Trinity?
Yes, and if they don't believe in the Trinity, they're not a Christian denomination. Lutherans, Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, all believe in one God in three persons. So, yes, they do. Now, and evangelicals definitely believe in the Trinity. I will tell you this, Jackie. I visited an evangelical church this last Sunday. Great message. And all evangelicals believe in the Trinity. But what sometimes you rarely hear about the Trinity in their worship service. And what I love is when you go to a church and the pastor says, we open our service today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when they close the service and we close our service, God bless you, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I like that because it reminds, and you know what they did yesterday? So it was a wonderful sermon, wonderful worship. At the end of the service, the pastor gets up and does the Trinitarian blessing from 2 Corinthians, the Lord bless you, or from the Aaronic blessing from the Old Testament, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It was such a breath of fresh air. So yes, every Christian denomination believes in the Trinity. I think we need to put it in every service.
Okay, so some Christian churches aren't doing
well. The more modern or evangelical churches, which I love, often leave out opening in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, closing in the name of the Father. Not that you have to. I just kind of like it.
Okay. So which cult groups do deny the Trinity?
Yes. Now here are the groups.
Why do we call them a cult?
Right. If a group says they're Christian, but they deny the basics of the Christian faith, then they're a cult. For instance, Mormons believe in thousands of gods, not one God. If you're a good Mormon, you can become a god. Jehovah's Witnesses renounce the Trinity. They do not believe in the deity of Christ. So those would be two groups to stay away from. And, you know, Pentecostals are fine, but there's a small group called United Pentecostals, Jesus only. They believe Jesus is God. They don't believe that the Father and the Holy Spirit are eternal. They just believe in one Jesus only, which is kind of strange.
Okay. What were some of the ancient heresies in the church, the early church?
The ancient false teachings, we just hit one of them, the big one. The big one was Arianism, the ancient version of Jehovah's Witness. Arius taught Jesus is not God, he's not eternal. There's another one that we just hit, it's called Docetism. And the Docetists taught that Jesus looked like God, he seemed like God, looked like a man, he seemed like a man, but we know God would never become a man. And the early church condemned that as unbiblical. There was a real big cult called Gnosticism.
I've never heard of
that. And it was all over the place. And it was this secret knowledge. And it's confusing to explain it because it's such a confused religion. But that was another big one. I won't bother to try to explain it because I don't know that I could. So those are the main heresies.
Okay. Why does the Bible call Jesus the Son of God if he actually is God?
Right.
Is it just
and
because
that,
of that, the
I know that can be confusing. Jesus is the Son of God, but he's the eternal Son of God. God the Father is eternal, and he has a Son to whom he is the Father, and that's Jesus. So I know it's confusing, but both are true. Yeah.
Okay. We hear about reincarnation and incarnation, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. What is the difference? Yep. I mean, can you explain, and yes, why is there two so similar?
Yes. Christians believe in incarnation, that God became a man, enfleshment. We do not believe in reincarnation, like the Hindus. You got to keep coming to earth, getting reincarnated a number of times till you get it right, maybe as a human, as a cow, as whatever. And then once you get it right, you're saved. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, it is appointed unto man to die once, and then comes judgment. So you don't keep coming back to earth reincarnated. But Christians do believe in the incarnation, that God became human, but only once in Christ.
So is the Holy Spirit God?
Yes, indeed. And there's another error of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They teach that the Holy Spirit is not a person. He's a force. He's just like a power of God. Well, the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit is a person because it says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And it says the Holy Spirit talks in the book of Acts. Well, a force doesn't talk. You can't grieve a force. He's a person.
Okay. Do we believe there are three persons sitting on three thrones in heaven?
Or, you know,
I've only got about 30 seconds
well,
left.
Well, you know, no. I mean, you go to cathedrals and they got the Father, Son, Holy Spirit on all three. And, you know, I don't think anything's wrong with that. But when we say persons, we just mean that each person of the Trinity is distinct from the other. God the Father didn't die on the cross. God the Son died on the cross. But are there three persons sitting on three thrones? I think that's overdoing it. But three separate persons in the Godhead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we want to thank you for being with us this week. We've been doing this program now for 28 years.
Yeah.
And we couldn't do it without your help and your support. Thanks for being with us. We pray that God would grant you his richest blessings until we're together again next time.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.